I'm Terry Gross. We're going to talk about something that will help determine America's future, but Americans will not have a vote on it, the European Union. The unification of Europe is affecting America's economy and politics in ways you may not be aware of. Europe may be developing into a second superpower that could stand on equal footing with the U.S. That's the subject of the new book, The United States of Europe, The New Superpower and the End of American Supremacy. My guest is the author T.R. Reid, who you may know from his writing in The Washington Post or his commentaries on NPR's Morning Edition. He was the Post Tokyo bureau chief from 1990 to 95, then became its London bureau chief. He's now the Post Rocky Mountain bureau chief. For Americans who haven't been following the development of the European Union that closely, can you just give us like a basic sketch of like what the structure of it is, what it means?
The European Union is a sort of a supranational pan-European government. It's 25 nations that have come together, and they've taken a lot of the governing powers and rights that individual countries have and handed them over to this central government in Brussels, so that in many ways they act like a single country. Europe has a parliament, it has a president, it has a flag, it has a national anthem, it has a standardized passport. No more border controls, a single currency, a single central bank for most of the countries. It's acting like a single nation, even though it's still made up of 25 separate nations. This unification came about as a way to prevent war. And I think the most striking thing about the EU is that it's worked. In the 70 years up to 1945, Europe had three brutal international wars on the continent. In the 60 years since, none. And there's not going to be a war between European countries. It's just not going to happen.
It may seem odd on Election Day to be talking about Europe, but you're really confident that Europe is going to have a very big effect on our future. Do you think that, as your subtitle implies, that Europe will be eclipsing our stature as a superpower?
That's certainly what the Europeans hope. And when I first started following this 4 or 5 years ago, I laughed at them. I was bored at EU summits. They stood up and said, we're building a new superpower. Look out, America. But, Terry, let's look at the numbers. They have more people. They have more money. They have vastly more trade than we do. They have more votes than the United States on every international organization. They don't have more military power. They don't want it. They're spending that money on this lavish welfare state of theirs. And they really want to stand up to America, to rank as a superpower next to us. They're driving for this. If you look at recent polls, 80% of the European people say they want Europe to be a superpower equal to America, and 70% say they're going to get there pretty quickly, or they've gotten there already, some think.
What kind of answer to the United States power would Europe want to be? Like, in what case, in what kinds of issues does it want to either balance us or veto us?
Well, for example, Europe wants to be the center of global antitrust law, international trade and antitrust law. They don't want to follow Washington's lead, and this is why they have stuck it to big American companies like Microsoft and General Electric by imposing their rules. And, you know, American companies don't particularly like it when the antitrust czar of Europe tells them, they told Microsoft to rewrite Windows. They don't like it, but they can't say no, because it's the biggest market in the world now. The European Union, with 25 nations and about 500 million people, is a bigger market than the United States. It's a bigger market than Japan. American companies can't say no anymore.
Let's look at the European Union and the invasion of Iraq. England was with the United States on that. Most of the European countries were not, or at least even those who were, didn't seem to be that strongly behind the U.S. Excuse me for speaking in big generalizations here. But how did the fact that Europe is now united in the European Union affect, if at all, how different countries took their positions on Iraq?